Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sneaky Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio along as well. Coming up. Your phone calls at 803-0550 on the... Is it still breaking? We're within an hour, so I think it can be considered to be still breaking. Don Granato relieved of his duties by the Buffalo Sabres. He is no longer the Buffalo Sabres head coach. There is a vacancy and a coach search to come, I assume, unless they make some announcement in the next couple of days, which I would not expect, but who knows? I thought Granato was probably going to be back, and he is not. So... we'll see what we get. 803-0550 for your favorite idea. We can fire that right up, what your favorite idea is. That could be Lindy. It could be, I'm seeing they're fighting on Twitter about Tortorella right now. I'm at a bleep it point. I'm mentally whatever. You want to do Tortorella? Fine, let's do it. Sick of hearing about it for 10 years. You want to do Tortorella? Let's do Tortorella. If he gets fired by the Flyers. Bruce Boudreau. Michael Pekka. Steve Ott, former Sabres that are assistant coaches in other places. I don't think many, if not anybody's favorite idea, is going to be the idea that I am really hoping they don't go for, but might be considered the favorite, which is that they just promote Seth Appert, the current Rochester Americans coach, to be their next head coach. And so let me know who you think, who you like instead. Or if you like the Appert idea, I have a hard time getting behind myself that as a credible move in this spot. I know some, not all, of course, about how he coaches players, how he interacts with players, how different he is in some ways than Granato. The resume is strikingly similar. It is a player development background that involves college hockey for a long time, that involves the United States development program after Granato was gone. He became the head coach of the World Juniors teams, the World Under 18s, the AHL. Like, it is player development time after time after time. And you do not have the experience that I think I'm going to need to get behind almost anything. Maybe I can be convinced on Pekka. Pekka, because that there's a level of credibility to getting Pekka to come back here, I guess. So there's something about him that does interest me. But otherwise, like, he might be an exception more than the rule for me. Otherwise, I am very much in the mood to see the Sabres go for just somebody that's done it. Somebody that has made the playoffs. Somebody that has a resume. That, okay, if you want someone, you can go for your different styles. If you want someone that's more of a, you know, not trying to befriend the players, maybe a little bit more of a hard ass, if you will, then okay, fine, whatever. Do the results come? Does he get results? Boudreau makes the playoffs all the time. Lindy has made the playoffs everywhere he's gone. I'm not a fan of Tortorella, but Tortorella's made the playoffs pretty much everywhere he's gone. You know, these are the... Berube from St. Louis won the cup. Always the Blues were right there. Made the playoffs pretty much every year until I think these last 2 years they didn't. These ideas. The inexperienced first-time coach... You know, it's not like you have to do something different every time. And that was not my vibe the last time this happened. The last time we did a coaching search, the Sabres were on the heels of a first-time coach. They had just fired Phil Housley. And yes, you know, what's the opposite of a victory lap? A loser lap? I'll take a loser lap on this. I was like the first person, before he was even rumored to be there, that was like, they should go call Ralph Krueger. Pull him out of the soccer world, back into hockey, and make him the head coach. I liked that idea. That was a guy who had coached 40 games in the NHL. Basically a first-time coach. Basically a first-time coach. That was on the heels of a first-time coach with Phil Housley. So, I don't, by rule, need to go, well, you had an offensive coach, now a defensive coach. You had a defensive coach, now an offensive coach. You had an experienced coach, so now an inexperienced coach. You had a rookie coach, now get someone with a long tenured resume. I don't need to be every other all the time. But this team has gone first-time coach in Granato for three full seasons, a... inexperienced head coach in Ralph Krueger, who had only coached 40 games in the league for 2 years, and you had a Phil Housley first-time head coach for 2 years. We are talking about more than half the drought that they have committed to, you know, a certain pedigree of coach. Can you do what other teams would do in this spot, which is go get the most credible coach with the most proven resume that you can get your hands on? Don't go too far with it. You know, I don't need them to hire Daryl Sutter back and, like, go as old school as possible. Part of the reason I like Lindy is because Lindy is adaptable everywhere he goes. And he has a recent example last season of coaching the second youngest team in the league to the second round of the playoffs and over 110 points. That's part of why I like the Lindy idea. He adapts to what his team is. It's not quite the same. He might hold his players accountable, like some of these other guys we're talking about. And the other part about Lindy is you should be able to get him. I like the idea of them going and reestablishing their credibility, but I don't know how you're getting your hands on guys like that. Is Rod Brind'Amour coming here? I mean, I might believe that they want to try for that. Until the day he signs an extension with Carolina, you try as hard as you can to get him to come here. I just don't think realistically it's ever going to happen. And does Gerard Gallant want to come here? Does Boudreau want to come here? Some of these guys, might already be accepting of, okay, that's it, I'm done, my coaching career is over, and maybe there's only one special circumstance that could pull them back in, and there's no way the Sabres are ever going to qualify as that. So it might be tough for them to get a coach like that, which is why I always circle back around to Lindy, because I think it's completely believable that he would want to do it. I think there are better ideas, but are there better ideas that are reasonable, that are realistic? I just cannot believe I'm ever going to get behind Seth Appert as their coach. I just this shouldn't be the determining factor as to who you hire, but who the fan base is not buying back in if they promote the Amherst coach. He might be a great coach. It could very well work, but you're not getting buy-in. You're not getting buy-in this offseason, this summer, if that's the move. It's just not happening. 803-0550 is the phone number. Who's your favorite idea? And, you know, a little bit of looking back on Granato. I think it's a little different than coaches of the past. You think of Bielsma or Kruger or Housley, and it's all negative. Like, I don't even know what I would point to remember the positives with their last 3, 4, 5 coaches. If you want to go all the way back to Ron Ralston. Ralston, that's just the gardener gloves, right? That was the positive thing for him. He wore gardener gloves. That was cool. There's nothing. Granato, it is a realization that they did not achieve what they could have under him and that they hit their head on the ceiling. But the difference that I will always have between Granato and the other failed coaches of the drought, I can look at provable good things that he did. Maybe not, I mean, they, again, did not reach the goals of the team, and that's what matters most. But what he did for Dahlin was nowhere when he took over. What he did for Tage wasn't even an NHL player when he took over. You might be upset with his season, only scoring 29 goals. He was not in the NHL. He was not a real NHLer when Granato took over. And there are other examples too. There were, on an individual basis, some really good things that Granato did. But it was absolutely time. Both can be true. You can look back fondly on certain parts of Granato's 3 years as head coach and also know it wasn't a success and it was absolutely time. It had to happen. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Adam in West Seneca. What's up, Adam?
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, so it's funny. I called Bulldog yesterday, and I just threw this in. But, I literally called it. Wasn't even talking about the Sabres. But I threw it in, and I said, it's not working. Sorry, you got to get rid of Granato. And I said, Lindy's available. Why not? I mean, think about Lindy's run with the Sabres. They lost Hasek in 2001. And how long did it take them to rebuild that team? And I threw Darcy in there too, but how long? 3, 4 years? How long has it been since we've had a good Sabres team?
It's been 13.
At least. So, I mean, we brought back Ted Nolan. Let's go. Let's bring Lindy back and get this thing. Let's right this ship.
All right. Thanks, Adam, for the call.
Thanks.
Listen, Lindy, I think there's a lot here. If you're someone that hears Lindy and goes, are you kidding me? Again, what are we doing here? We're bringing guys back from the past now. That's it. Like, that's not the reason I like the idea of Lindy, personally. Maybe for others out there it is. Like Adam even there. He's saying, like, the last time they had a good team, he was the head coach. That's understandable. That's not the reason I'm in on Lindy. The reason I'm in on Lindy is what I just kind of went through. Everywhere, every time he's had a different type of team, he has adjusted his style to that team, and it has worked. Granato just had that test, and maybe it wasn't 100% him, but he had the test. They had a team that lit it up tons of scoring. And now it was, can you adjust your style? Can this team get a little bit more defensive, a little bit more responsible? And they tried it, and it didn't work. Lindy, late 90s, a goaltender, Hasek, was his best player by a country mile. And what type of hockey did that team play? Low scoring. Pekka was a Selke winner, right? Defensive. They played to their strength. Their strength was their goaltender. A few years later, out of the lockout, what does Lindy have? He looks at his team, maybe even looks at the new rules, and says, all right, time to light it up. Let's light the lamp. Let's score. Let's score, baby. Power play, speed, skill. Small guys, Briere and Drury and Vanek and Afinogenov and all these guys. And they were like the highest scoring team in the league for 2 years and went on two deep playoff runs. Then the team Adam's referencing, the two playoff teams that Miller is backstopping, hey, a goalie's their best player again. What's their path? How do they get good? How do they get to the playoffs? There's got to be some recognition in those seasons from Lindy. Like, we can't play run and gun. We can't fly up and down the ice. We've got to have a little bit of a lockdown mentality. And Miller won the Vezina, and then they made the playoffs the next year too, and they made the playoffs with a goalie as their best player. Then he gets to Dallas. You know, Dallas is just Dallas, right? Like, I'd have to go back and look at, like, what the strengths of those teams were. I can tell you what New Jersey's was, though. Last year, how was New Jersey built? The same way the Sabres were built. The same way this exact Sabre team right now is built is how the Devils were built last season. The Devils were the second youngest team in the league, only above the Sabres. And their team was filled with tons of good, young, offensive talent. Jack Hughes, Jesper Bratt, Nico Hischier, Timo Meier midway through the year. Dougie Hamilton on the blue line. They scored. They were fun. They were fast. Lindy can do it all. And he might take the job, which might be important here. That's why I'm in on Lindy. It's not just for me that he used to be the Sabres coach. That might be how I get him in the door, but... like, find me the Lindy equivalent. So let's not make it Lindy. Find me the Lindy equivalent on another team that used to coach another team. Is that Berube? Because then I'm in. You want to change the name? You want to make it someone that has a similar resume, a similar type of ideal that is not just a former Sabre coach? I'm good with that. But Lindy, I think you have to know, would take it. Scott and Tonawanda is next. Hey, Scott.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I am not in favor of bringing back any Sabres players, any Sabres coaches, including Lindy Ruff. It's just we need to make a splash this time. It's been 13 years, and we need to bring in a coach with a little bit of experience, or a lot of experience, actually, and this team needs to be disciplined and held accountable, something that I did not see much of at all this season. And I think that's where I am on this topic right now.
All right. Thanks, Scott, for the call. I'm there too. Experience. I'm going to have a hard time getting behind any idea that is another first-time coach. 803-0550 is the phone number. Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio, it's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Your favorite idea to replace Don Granato. We'll look back at his tenure as well, as the Sabres have let go of Don Granato. They did not wait long. I mean, it was 15 hours after their game last night ended. More of your phone calls after this timeout here on WGR.
Corner in front, cuts and scores! Shorthanded goal by the Buffalo Sabres on the penalty kill unit again, and it's a 2-1 Buffalo lead.
Okay, back here on the Extra Point Show. No, Joe didn't suddenly morph into Sal. I'm back. Thank you, Joe, very much for spearheading, taking over the first segment of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
So I was interviewing for the Sabres head coach vacancy,
That's what I was doing, yes. I actually have a really interesting story about where I was and what I was doing before I came back here to the station to join the show with you today. Of course, if you're just joining us, breaking news from the Sabres within the past little over an hour. Don Granato, head coach of the Sabres, has been relieved of his duties, along with assistant coach Jason Christie and video coordinator Matt Smith. Kevin Adams will be available to the media at 3 p.m. today. We will have Paul Hamilton at 11:05. I have not heard from Paul that his plan has changed to join us, so I'm going to assume he can, but totally understandable if Paul now is, you know, unable to do that because of his duties covering what's going on today. But we had already scheduled Paul for 11:05. I'm here now. You opened the show. Thank you very much, Joe Calley, Joe DiBiase, for being on the first segment. I today was at Lancaster High School speaking to Mr. Hersher's business class. Okay. I'm going to tell you a couple stories about this, and this relates to the firing of Don Granato. About a couple months ago, I had some mail here at the station, and I opened it up, and it was a handwritten letter from a young man named Caden. And Caden said, "Hi, Mr. Capaccio, listen to WGR, big sports fan. As part of my business class, we are asked to reach out to people in industries, different industries, and have them speak. And I'm writing to you, ask you if you can." Joe, this was a handwritten letter, not type, not on a computer, not a tweet, not an email. I'm like, this is really cool. A kid writing a handwritten letter these days to send this to me, right?
Yep.
So I'm like, absolutely. So I actually called the teacher. I said, "Hey, I got this letter," and we worked it out, and today was the day. So I go to the class today, great group of kids, Lancaster High School. Shout out to Mr. Hersher's business class, juniors and seniors, by the way. In the class today, class was from 9 to 9:45, and that's why I said, "Joe, I'm going to be a little late to the show." I'm doing a Q&A. One young man raises his hand. He says, "How many hours a week do you typically work?" And I said, "Whoa, baby. That can range from pretty much in the off season, you're not really doing as much, to, hey, it's all the time."
Yeah.
I said, "You know," that's what I said. I said, "I'm like a doctor on call sometimes. I know it sounds funny to say that, but as a reporter, as a host in this business, you never know when news is going to break." I said, "For example, I could look at my phone right now and there could be news. And Joe, I am not kidding you."
You looked at your phone?
I looked at my phone and it said the Sabres had relieved Don Granato of his duties.
That's amazing.
At the moment this kid asked me, he had asked me probably at 9:25, 9:30.
Yeah.
The news broke at 9:20. I didn't see my phone until I looked at it to show him an example in the class.
Right. And there,
and
it,
there
was.
It is.
There it was.
There it is.
Released from his duties.
So now I said, "Wait a minute." And I read it and I looked at my phone. The kids are like, "What's wrong?" I looked at my phone. I said, "Oh my gosh, the Sabres just fired Don Granato." And these are Lancaster High School students. They know, they're junior, seniors. Most of them are into sports. Maybe not, but they're like, "Oh my God, oh my God." So the buzz starts happening in the classroom, right?
Yeah.
The teacher's like, "Oh my gosh," right? We start. So now my next 15 minutes is talking about that too. And the business. And this just happened. And they're like, "Okay, what do you have to do now?" I'm like, "Well, I got to go back to the station. I'm going to be on with Joe. We're going to do the show." I said, "But if it was Bills, I'd be at the stadium. Since it's the Sabres, it'll be Paul Hamilton. He's going to go down there. He'll be there at 3 o'clock. Don Granato's going to meet with Kevin Adams with the media. We'll air that on WGR. Chopin Bulldog will be on." It was a real-life, totally incredible example, unfortunately at the expense of Don Granato, of how it works.
Wow. That's, you couldn't beat that.
No!
For an example, at least.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Now, that is the news. And, of course, yesterday, the Sabres announced Granato and Adams would both speak on Friday.
Right.
When they announced that, the natural reaction from most people was, okay, that means Granato's staying. Bulldog did a lot of his show on that because I agreed with him that if you're not going to announce that, if you don't intend on him staying. Mm. Now, I did say, I guess they could do it and then say, we're going to make an organizational evaluation and down the road. I did not expect it to come before Friday if they were going to do it at all. That's for sure.
Right.
It comes today. Do you think, Joe, there is any chance whatsoever Sabres put that out as some sort of trial balloon to see the reaction that Don Granato will be coming back?
I don't think so. I think it depends. Those meetings usually probably come after they determine the media schedule, right, of the week. Like, it would be, you know, if there's a meeting that has to happen between ownership and a coach, and the media schedule they want released on Monday, but the meeting's not coming till Tuesday. You wouldn't want to release the schedule and then not put Don Granato on it, because then now you're assuming, you know, you've assumed guilt, I guess, in this way. You're assuming a firing. So I don't think it has to relate. Murray, I remember, referenced this earlier, that in 2017, Murray did an end-of-season press conference. He actually got to the podium and did it. And then it was like the next, and he never talked about anything that could have indicated he was about to be fired, and the next day he was fired.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the meeting with ownership didn't happen until after the media session. So I think it just kind of depends when they meet with certain people.
Do you think it's, okay, so this had to be predetermined, because they haven't even had, they haven't even had exit interviews. One of the things that Bulldog talked about was,
with players.
Right? Yes. Would they want to get any feedback from players before making any move? And obviously they didn't had no interest in that. We're doing this now.
They probably know what the feedback would be.
Which
right?
is?
That the players love Don Granato and they do not want him gone, that they'll do better for him.
Agreed.
That they'll get behind him. I think they know what they would hear. So I think this decision probably comes away from that. Look at the players and how they reacted when there were 100 people, roughly, that chanted "Fire Granato" in a 9-4 game in December. Look how they acted the rest of the season. Like, they loved this guy. So, no, I don't think so. I think this was probably going to happen regardless. If you were going to miss the playoffs and the season went the way it did, that this was bound to happen. And also that, you know, they're willing to eat. It's $2 million. It was just reported right around Granato's extension that hasn't even kicked in yet. So he'll get that money, but you know, you have a $75 million hockey roster. $2 million. They buried players in Rochester this year that made $2 million. Tyson Jost cost them $2 million mm-hmm. to not play on the team. So I guess looking back, it's under, you know, we probably could have thought even more so, like, okay, the extension maybe isn't as big a deal as we think it is, because
They paid Rex Ryan for 3 years at like $4 to $5 million
right,
each year.
Right. I'm sure they don't like doing that.
No.
But nobody does.
It's the business.
Right. They're willing to do it. And again, like the comparable that I just kind of thought of this morning that was always out there is, okay, wait a minute. $2 million right around for Don Granato. They buried more money than that in Rochester this year.
That's right.
And those were players to not play for you, basically. So
we'll take your phone calls on this, 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Okay, so now we get to what happens next. I love your segment driving in when I was coming back from talking at the high school, and the names and the situation, and of course, Lindy, to me, is going to be at the top of a lot of people's list. Some people hate the idea, some people love the idea. I typically hate the idea of bringing back someone.
Sure.
Because of you do it because you bring them back and what it meant to the past and the organization. I don't hate the idea of Lindy. It's not my favorite idea. I'm going to give you my favorite idea. My favorite idea, which I'm still unsure of what the situation is. I've looked at it. What is Rod Brindamore's situation in Carolina?
So at last check, I'll do another one right now because I meant to during the break.
Because I keep searching for this. I can't find exactly what his contractual situation is. If he's under contract, not under contract. He signed some deal a couple years ago.
Yeah, he is in the final year of his contract.
Okay.
And the last that I saw, and he hasn't signed an extension since, Elliot Friedman had on 32 Thoughts maybe like a month ago that they were closing in on a deal between the Hurricanes and Brindamore. But you still don't have a deal, so I guess you could treat it as until he has signed a contract with the Hurricanes, that's the guy you go all out for. Adams has a relationship with him, obviously, from in Carolina, and you try everything you can to get him to come here. That is the most credible idea that you could find. You would reestablish.
That is my number one idea.
Yeah.
You go get Rod Brindamore. Tell him, don't sign that contract.
Yep.
We're going to pay you more than they're going to pay you.
So until he signs it, I think you do that. I just don't think they are ever getting him to come here. If Brindamore wants to leave Carolina, he can have any job in the league. He could. If Toronto is about to fire Keefe if they lose in the first round. You can go coach the Leafs if you want.
Okay, wait.
You can
go
coach anywhere in the league you want. Are you picking Buffalo?
I don't think that I have to go as far as you say no. If you have a relationship with Kevin Adams, first of all, who you've won a Stanley Cup with, Okay?
Better be a pretty strong relationship.
Yeah. But, Joe, they have a lot of good young talent. Yes, if you could choose a lot of teams, what?
I understand that
there's this organizational cloud, right?
Yeah.
And they haven't been. You could be the guy to get them. You don't know what it would mean to a coach to bring this team to the playoffs after 13 years of not making it. And you look at that roster and see Tage Thompson and Devin Levi and Dylan Cousins and Zach Benson and all the talent they have. Owen Power and Rasmus Dahlin.
I don't know how highly their players are seen around the league. Like, Dahlin, maybe. And
Youngest team in the league, right?
They are the youngest team in the league. That could also be a thing that it depends. Some guys might like that idea. Some guys might hate that idea. I think I would cross Gerard Gallant off the list because he hates playing young players, and he is not. I would be stunned if he is signing up for the youngest team in the league. Brindamore, Moore, I don't know how he is on that front. But, you know, their players, like, I don't know what their reputation is around the league. It probably isn't that great. They didn't have a player get to 60 points this year. So, if I'm Brindamore, Moore, like, again, you play the game of, okay, if I want to coach the best players, I got Matthews scoring 70 an hour north, or I'm going to go, Thompson had 29 goals this year. He has one big year. Like, I don't think their players are rate enough league-wide to convince a coach like that to come here. I'm questioning right now myself if they're talented enough to be a contending team. So, are they attracting Brindamore? They might not deter him, because it's not like it's a barren wasteland here. There's a lot of it. You just don't know what the high end looks like. So, I don't know. I can't see it. I cannot see a Brindamore coming here.
I'm sure Brindamore would love to stay in Carolina, and it's probably going to work out. I think there's more of a chance of the Sabres trying to do that and maybe even getting it done if they really, really put their assets to it as much as possible than you do. That said, you just mentioned Sheldon Keefe.
Yeah.
What if Sheldon Keefe gets fired?
An idea you like?
I'm wondering if you like it. I don't know if I love it.
He
did just coach Matthews to 60 goals. 70 goals, right? What's he getting? 70?
Does he have
70 yet? Did he get to it?
He's one away. He has one more game. Although Keith's talking like he doesn't even want him to get it. He said it's been a distraction. I hate it.
I'm not
worried about that anyway.
But they could wind up firing him if they don't advance again.
Oh, I think he was all year.
Yes.
If you could find next coach fired odds anywhere, it was after DJ Smith got let go in Ottawa. Granato was the favorite, and all year right behind him was Sheldon Keefe,
mm-hmm.
always number two. So I agree. I think if they lose in the first round, I think he's probably gone. It's not my least favorite idea. It's not. He's won, but he's won in Toronto. Like, how hard is that? I don't want to take all credit away from him. So it's an idea, and it's another one where, like, okay, there's at least some proven track record here of this dude can get you to the playoffs. I'm not worried about him not being able to win the playoffs yet because I'm just trying to get in first. So it wouldn't be top of my list, but that would be a respectable idea, I think.
Okay, I do not want John Tortorella here. I think John Tortorella is a dinosaur. I think the way he coaches, I understand that maybe this group needs a little kick in the butt. I understand that part of it. I am not interested in John Tortorella.
I'm not either, but I will say I'm more mentally open to it than I ever have been in my entire life. Because every single time they've needed a coach, even when they don't need a coach, someone's always out there ready to say, why don't they bring in John Tortorella? For 15 years, that's been a guy.
Okay.
Part of me almost says, bleep it. You know what? Nothing else has worked. Nothing else works. You know what? Fine. You want to get your way and put Tortorella in there, just see what happens? Sure, do it. He does make the playoffs almost everywhere he goes. But I would have a hard time with that.
Here's the other name that I thought of. Feel free to swear at me, yell at me, throw something at me, whatever you want to do. Speaking of the last 15 years and names and people like that, he's only 60 years old.
Okay.
Do you revisit Mike Babcock?
You can't revisit. I don't think you can revisit Mike Babcock. He tried to get back in the league. He got hired. You remember what happened before the season? This was only like a week, so it would have been easy to miss. And I got to pull up the details even myself.
Oh, you know what? I think I missed. That's right. I didn't even think about that situation that got him fired.
Off the ice stuff.
Yes, yes. My apologies. That's right.
His relationship with other players.
Yes, yes, yes.
So the Blue Jackets. This is a good question because I've had people on Twitter ask me already this morning about him.
Okay.
Babcock got hired. When was it? September 12th.
That's right.
July 1st. July 1st, Babcock was named the coach of the Blue Jackets. They got crushed for it. And then 10 weeks after, there were allegations of inappropriate behavior that actually came up on the Spittin' Chicklets podcast. Babcock had ordered players to show him their photos on their cell phone.
That's right.
Stuff like that.
Okay, forget
building.
It. I don't want Babcock anymore.
Yeah. So
it
I
was
think,
a name I
think
thought
he's,
of.
He's pretty toxic at this. He's radioactive.
Okay.
You don't. I don't think I'd want that.
I agree with you. I don't know. I mean, Seth Appert does. It's just does the spin in the wheels thing for me. He might be a great coach, as you said, but it's not anything that I'm interested in here. All right, Lindy is the idea I think a lot of people are interested in and want to talk about. We'll take your phone calls as well. 803-0550, Paul Hamilton up at 11:05.
Sabres with the steal. Far side in front. Score! Zach Benson gets the Sabres back to a two-goal advantage again as he taps one in at the near post.
Zach Benson with the final goal of the 2023-2024 Buffalo Sabres season. They win last night over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Let's go to LJ in Rochester. He's been waiting patiently. Hi, LJ. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Just wanted to throw a couple of names in. The first name that popped into my head for the coaching vacancy would be Claude Julien. I'm not sure if he, you know, is still around coaching or would, you know, be apt to do it. Another one would be like Guy Boucher, the old coach for Ottawa and Tampa, now assistant for Toronto, and maybe retread on him and see how he could do.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. We're taking some suggestions on what people feel about the Sabres should do at coach. I think Lindy is the hot name. For a lot of people, I think that's kind of polarizing for some. We've seen them reach back in their past before with a guy like Phil Housley. I never love doing that just for the sake of doing it. But Lindy's also a really good hockey coach, I think. Let's go to Jerry and Kenmore. Go ahead, Jerry.
You know, I'm significantly older than you, and I hear some of these older calls, Sal. And players have changed. And accountability is much different to a young player than it used to be to us. Coaching 101 teaches you right now that punitive punishment does not curb behavior. They know they're supposed to catch the ball. They know they're not supposed to fumble the ball. All you're doing by punishing in that way is usually setting a player back. You have to handle players differently today. Last year, he let them play and make mistakes. This year, he reeled them in a little bit, and it became worse. You want young players not afraid to make the mistakes. So be careful what you wish for in this accountability thing.
I mean,
I hear you. I understand and I like that sentiment, Jerry, a lot. I don't need...
You do have to coach different these days than you did years ago. This is why I don't like the Tortorella idea.
Right. And even Tortorella, I think, has changed some, but not to the degree that I think others have. Yeah, that's why for me, like, I'm looking for more of the resume whenever I bring up some of these names, like the proven and proven recently. I don't need a guy that did it 10 years ago, but someone that's done it recently that gets you to the playoffs. If that's a guy that doesn't bag skate the players or bench them when they're not playing well, then I'm completely fine with that. That to me is the detracting part of Tortorella. Is Tortorella, while he does get results, you know, what happened in Philly this year? Philly fell apart at the end. A lot of it could have been, or a part of it could have been, that he benched their captain when he didn't play well. And did he lose the locker room? That sentiment was out there with him. I don't need that. That's too far in the other direction to me.
Let's go to Bill in Canada. Thanks, Jerry. What's up, Bill?
How you doing?
Thanks.
Hold
on, Bill. We got a bad connection. Go ahead. Try again.
I was going to say that I was kind of disappointed to hear Pato. I had listened to him, and he obviously really knew the game. And he made some excellent comments, but it was time for change. One guy I was going to suggest, I actually played hockey against this guy growing up. We used to call him the Rooster, Bruce Boudreaux. He was in Vancouver for a while, and I thought he did a great job, although bringing in Rick Tocchet looks like a show. Really good, smart hockey ship there. But Bruce Boudreaux is a great communicator. The media would love him. He's passionate about the game. He was a really great scorer in the AHL. He never got a shot at the NHL, but he's coached at the NHL level. And I think Bruce is would be a good fit. I don't know if he'll get along with Adams. I don't know if there's a relationship. But, you know, if you get good goaltending, you got good coaching. Thanks, fellas.
Yeah, what do you think about Boudreaux? You mentioned him a little while ago. He's been at Washington, Anaheim, Minnesota, and his last stop was Vancouver last year.
The only thing about Boudreaux is I think he's pretty old at this point.
69 years old right now.
Yeah. Like, even Lindy's 65. Right. That works a little bit better. So, how long do you think you're going with Boudreaux? A year or two? Like, it might just be too late for him.
Give me 1 year of playoffs and I'm good. Then do whatever
honestly,
you want.
Honestly, I would
do whatever
right.
you want after that.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll squeeze Mark in here before the top of the hour, then Paul Hamilton. What's up, Mark?
Oh, he's gone.
Mark took off. All right. Well, Paul Hamilton, is Paul good to go? Okay, just making sure. Paul's going to join us here at 11:05. His day changed, obviously, after the news. The big breaking news today here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. The Sabres have fired head coach Don Granato, but also a couple of assistant coaches, which we haven't dug into that part of it yet, Joe, but I thought it was interesting. Two assistant coaches have been fired, including Jason Christie and video coordinator Matt Smith. Matt Ellis, still on staff. Defensive coach Marty, I have to get his last name, I forget, still on staff. There are other people still on staff, and it's interesting.
Mike Bales
still on staff. Thank you. I'm wondering, you know, in football, I cover football, obviously, normally, and when it happens where you fire a coach but not all the assistants, they say the assistants, their fate will be determined by the new head coach. That's something we'll hear from Kevin Adams later today. In the meantime, Paul Hamilton sets us up for that when he comes back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, let's get right back into it here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. We're going to welcome in Paul Hamilton right now on the West Her hotline. Good morning, Paul. I know that you had a busy morning. You came on with Jeremy and Joe just a couple hours ago. I was telling Joe, I was at Lancaster High School speaking to a class, and a young man said, "How many hours a week do you work?" I said, "Well, that's a funny thing. It could always be a lot more or a lot less, depending on what happens. I could get breaking news at any point," and literally looked at my phone, and 5 minutes before he asked was when it happened. So it was breaking news this morning, and I'm wondering how surprised you were, especially after yesterday's announcement that both Granato and Adams would speak on Friday.
Yeah, you were in my neighborhood. I could have just come over.
I know.
We could have gone on together.
I know. I said that. I didn't want to say that on the air, but I told the kids, you know, Paul Hamilton lives in Lancaster. He's right over here, too.
Yeah, I think what really made me think about that, it's the possibility that it could happen, is, you know, the player interviews usually the day after. And even last year they were. So we would have been there today for locker cleanout. But they had the day in between. And I thought, well, that might be for meetings with the coaching staff or whatever that might be. And obviously it was. Now, I think what we need to take into account, too, Terry Pegula was here when Stephon Diggs got traded. He went to two Sabre games while he was here. And I'm sure there were some intense discussions between Kevin Adams and Terry Pegula then. I can't imagine Terry Pegula is pretty real happy with what he's witnessed this year on the ice. So decisions could have been made right then and there as far as that goes. So am I surprised? No, not too much tends to surprise me these days. I've been at this long enough. But you'll probably never know exactly what happened, whether it was Terry Pegula who said this has to happen or whether Kevin Adams changed his mind. And at the end of the year, just was thinking about it and seeing some of the things that we were seeing, they just weren't responding. It seemed like Don Granato was out of answers. He had this style that he wanted them to play, that when they played it, they played well. But for the last 2 years, they didn't play it all that much. He would just be constantly trying to get them, and the same mistakes would be made over and over again, and then they would have to go over it again. And, you know, he couldn't seem to get them out of it, and he didn't seem to have an answer. All right, maybe the system that you want them to play doesn't fit the talent that you have. Maybe you have to do something different system-wise with this team, because for 2 years they just don't seem to be able to get it. And, you know, so surprised, no. I mean, as I said, nothing really surprises me all too much when it comes to this business.
Sabres also fired a couple assistant coaches. Not on that list is Matt Ellis, but I was tweeted at by somebody named Brad who said that Ellis, his contract is up, so he doesn't have to be fired. I don't know if you know that to be true. I'm not sure. We can look into that. But obviously, if his contract is up, he doesn't have to be relieved of his duties necessarily. But it was interesting to me, just from a broader standpoint, that two assistant coaches, including a video coordinator, were fired, but nobody else was on the list. Mike Bales, obviously, as well. But maybe contracts come into play here, Paul. I don't know.
Yeah, and they don't usually tell us how long assistant coaches' contracts are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't know. The one thing I like to say about Matt Ellis, and this isn't in hockey, it isn't like offensive and defensive coordinators in football. You know, I didn't hear last year when the Sabres power play was in the top three for most of the year that Matt Ellis was a power play genius. Nobody even brought up Matt Ellis. But when it goes down the tubes, it's all Matt Ellis' fault. And what happens in hockey is the head coach sits down with the coaching staff and decides, this is the power play we're going to play, this is the style we're going to play, and this is the penalty kill we're going to play, and this is the style of penalty kill we're going to play. And then it's up to those coaches to coach that, whatever that system might be. So Matt Ellis is coaching Don Granato's power play, is what it amounts to. So it's, you know, I don't give him all too much credit for when it went well, and I don't give him too much credit for when it didn't, because he's basically coaching what it is that Don Granato is coaching. Now, the coach, Jason Christie, is a very good friend of Don Granato's. I believe they were teammates at one point. So he was on the coaching staff. Don Granato had brought him on. Kevin Adams had brought on Matt Ellis onto the coaching staff. And you're right. You don't have to fire.
Spring is a time of renewal. So why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Somebody, if their contract runs out. So, you know, we don't know as far as, you know, what his status is with that and moving forward, and what it's going to be moving forward.
All right, Paul. Seth Appert is who, like, is that where your chips would lie? Like, that as a move for the Sabres. I mean, we don't know about Ellis's contract and whatnot, but given that they haven't been fired, is it right to kind of read into, okay, well, if they want to keep some of these assistant coaches, the way to do that is by promoting from within?
No, I wouldn't read into that. And we were talking earlier, and when I was talking about Seth Appert taking over, we were talking about Don Granato being fired in the middle of the season. And that's where I felt they would turn. If Granato was fired while the season was still going on, they would just turn to Seth Appert.
I'm with you. I thought if that would have happened during the season, then you can't really do anything other than really promote
right.
somebody
from
somewhere.
So I wanted to be clear. We talked about this earlier, and I didn't get there to that point. When I talked about Seth Appert taking over, and I think Kevin Abs returned to him, that's what I was saying is if because we were always talking about Granato being fired right then and there. Well, if Granato's fired, I think they would probably turn to Seth Appert right away.
Right.
Now that they've done it after the season, I wouldn't necessarily say that's what they're going to do. I would think Adams is a very thorough person, and I would think he would go through a very thorough coaching search. And a lot of coaches that he might be interested in will still be coaching in the playoffs. Let's say he's interested in Michael Pekka. Well, the New York Rangers may go a while.
Right.
You know, before he could ever talk to him. Or if he's, you know, so, you know, coaches like that. And Seth Appert,
he may go a while.
Yeah, he may go a while with the Rochester Americans. And even if, you know, they don't go a while, I don't think he would just say, all right, Seth, you're the coach. I think he would want to take a look at who's out there and talk to other people. And then at the end of the day, kind of like when they hired Granato. Granato was the interim coach, and it seemed like he was going to be the head coach, but they waited a while before they actually made him the head coach. I think part of that was they were waiting to make sure Rod Brind'Amour was actually signed by the Carolina Hurricanes. It was reported that he probably would, but it seemed like Granato was named within days, a couple of days, one or 2 days after Brind'Amour put his name on the dotted line. So, you know, Kevin Adams and Rod Brind'Amour are very good friends. So if for some reason, you know, that Rod Brind'Amour would be, you know, willing to leave the Carolina Hurricanes, I think Kevin Adams would have a good opportunity to maybe get him. But I don't know. I don't really think Rod Brind'Amour is looking to leave the Hurricanes. Mm-hmm. You never know. But, you know, so.
Well, let me ask you this, Paul. There's two parts to that. Because I agree with you. We all agree that he probably wouldn't want to leave Carolina. They want to make it work. Joe and I are in a different spot, though, if he would want to come to Buffalo, if that were the case. I think he'd be more open to it, considering his relationship with Adams and the roster. Joe feels that that would be something that would be very tough to draw him there, I think.
Sal, I agree with you. Because of the roster and Adams, you know, he could look at it, well, I don't agree with what Don Granato was trying to get them to do. I can get them to do whatever this is, you know, whatever his philosophies are. And, boy, I got Darlene, and I have Power, and I have Thompson, and I have Tuck, and I have a very good nucleus there, and I can get them to get back to where they were a couple of years ago by, you know, maybe having a little more discipline. Or Rod Brind'Amour doesn't mess around. You play the game his way or you don't play. It's as simple as that. That's not what this team is used to. And that's why I think if he's willing to leave Carolina, this might be a place he'd be willing to come to.
Okay, so now we get to the go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was on Pekka, Paul. How did that happen? Where he do you remember like the situation or the circumstances in which he left Rochester for the Rangers? Was it just as simple as it's an NHL job and it's a promotion?
No, it was as simple as Peter Laviolette used to be his coach.
Okay.
And he wanted to go coach with him. You know, he's very good friends with him. He used to be his coach. And even if the Sabres would have, like, created a job for him, I don't think he would have stayed. That's how badly he wanted to coach with Laviolette. So that's why he went to the Rangers. Now, does he believe he's ready to be a head coach? Does he want to be a head coach? I don't have those answers. You know, I've never, you know, I've spoken with him, but I've never actually asked him if he wants to be a head coach or Now, I have talked to other people around the NHL. Each person I have spoken with, and some of them are not, have never had anything to do with the Buffalo Sabres, feel like he would be an excellent head coach. Is like a young and coming assistant coach. So I get a lot of good reports. I've asked a lot of people along the way, you know, during the season, and people I see and people I talk to. And a lot of people are very high on Michael Pekka when it comes to a guy who's an assistant coach who could become a possibly a successful NHL coach.
We will take your phone calls with Paul here. So we have a couple on hold. So just stay with us. I got a couple more things for Paul before we get to your phone calls and questions. First on Pekka. I love the idea. I love Michael Pekka. Love what he brings, his demeanor, his, you know, what he meant to the organization when he was here. It would, though, scare me, Paul, to hire a first-time head coach. I know he has worked under Chris Drury as GM, obviously, now, and what they're doing in New York. It's just been really a really nice season for them. I think the pedigree is there for a guy to get a shot, but is that the right thing to do for this club, to bring in a first-time head coach considering where they are? I think that's a tough one.
It is, and you never know if he's going to be a good coach or if he isn't. I mean, John Cooper came up from the AHL.
That's right.
And then wound up winning two Stanley Cups. It did work out for John Cooper. Many times it doesn't work out. You know, Lindy Ruff last year did really well with the New Jersey Devils, but it's been widely reported. The reason he did very well is he had Andrew Brunet on his coaching staff, and Andrew Brunet is the one who came up with the game plan, the design of how this team was going to play, and that's why Brunet got a head coaching job so quickly, because it was basically his philosophy that rolled the Devils into where they went, into the second round of the playoffs. He's gone, and look where the Devils were. You know, so, you know, a lot of what happened with the Devils was Andrew Brunet, who got an opportunity again to be a head coach and got the promotion. So that's another reason why I like Lindy Ruff a lot. I mean, Lindy Ruff is a very good person and always has been very good to me. But I'm kind of in the been there, done that type of a thing. I'm a little bit, even though I would not mind Michael Pekka coming here, I kind of get tired of the let's bring the Sabres back.
I said the same thing earlier. You can't do it just for that, and it screams of that, even if it's not the intention, right?
Yeah, and like when at the end of Ryan Miller's career, let's bring Ryan Miller back. Let's bring this, even when Pekka was playing, let's bring Pekka back. Let's bring so-and-so back. We like to do that here, and I'm to a point where I'm good. I don't need to bring Sabres back here necessarily, but I would not criticize Pekka being hired. If, with that being said, I kind of believe in that a little more than a little bit, but I also have this sneaky suspicion in the back of my mind that Michael Pekka is going to turn into a really good coach, and nobody knows that. But I just kind of have that in my mind, especially how well people talk about him, even people who have never had anything to do with the Buffalo Sabres organization.
So you're not into the idea of bringing Kyle Okposo back to be the head coach. Is that right, Paul? They like him. We know that. The players do. Is there an idea that you think of a guy that doesn't fit the mold of... Because I'm with you. Like, depending on the guy, it can be a little bit of an eye roll for me because of, like, you're just bringing back guys you know. Is there an idea that doesn't have a connection here that speaks to you at all? And maybe that would be more, I don't know who the up-and-coming coaches are that aren't Pekka, because I know Pekka we've talked about. And otherwise, like, some of those veteran names out there, like, I don't know, Gerard Gallant just does not sound like a great idea to me. I mean, there's others out there.
Yeah, no, that doesn't to me either. It seems like a lot of coaches get regurgitated, and it's just like, well, okay, what did you do in your last job that brought you to this job that all of a sudden that you should be hired? And yeah, but you used to be an NHL coach. Yeah, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it very often doesn't work out that way, and you know, it's sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. It's the same thing with firing coaches. Jeremy asked me about that earlier. It's the same thing with firing coaches mid-season. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Islanders, it worked. Devils, it didn't. You know, we can sit here and bring up examples on both sides of that mm-hmm. coin. You know, where it did work and where it didn't work. It depends on who the coach is. It depends on how receptive the players are. You know, so maybe it would have worked if they would have fired Granato in midseason. Maybe it wouldn't have. Who knows? It's just that's now what we'll have to be looking at is who's available, who's not, who are some of the young coaches that people have been talking about. Even Carl at the University of Denver, you know, is a coach that a lot of people have been talking about, who's won a world junior championship. He's won a national championship with Denver. You know, is that a guy who could leave the college ranks and become a good NHL coach? Again, sometimes that works really well. Sometimes it doesn't work at all. You know, so, you know, that could be something they would look into also, that a very successful college coach, would he be able to take on the NHL?
One last thing on Pekka before I hit these phone calls. It would be full circle considering how his career ended here. I mean, you know what I mean? The guy couldn't get a contract, sat out an entire season, which I think really cost them in that playoff round against the Penguins that year. And that, you know, the bitter blood between the two. And I know that's softened over the years. Of course it has.
Well, everybody's gone. GM,
right,
owner,
right, right.
Everybody.
I know he's been here. But, I mean, it would be interesting. He becomes the head coach after the way that his playing career ended here.
Yeah, I always got the impression he regretted that.
Paul, I will tell you real quick. I did a podcast with him a couple of years ago just to kind of go through those teams. And he didn't want to get into detail, but he indicated that. He said all sides could have handled it better, and he said he could have handled it better for sure.
I think he regretted leaving. I think he missed Buffalo. And I think if the opportunity would have come back later in his career to be a Sabre, he would have. I think he was looking for that. But nobody, you know, really wanted to bring him back at that point. So, I do think there was some regret there as far as that went and you know, leaving the Sabres the way he did. And, you know, after he went to the Islanders and he went to the Oilers and whoever else that he went to, I think he looked back at it and thought, you know what, maybe that wasn't the best idea to leave the Buffalo Sabres.
Leafs and Blue Jackets where he wound up last two stops. Go to Luke in Silver Creek, been waiting patiently to talk to Paul. Go ahead, Luke.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if, you know, we've got any examples or any history out there of NHL teams promoting their AHL coaches, obviously referencing Mr. Appert here, and that, you know, either working out or not working out. I was just looking at Seth's resume. He coached a bunch of years down at RPI, coached the USA U18 teams. Young, handsome dude, 49 years old. So, just trying to get your thoughts on the history of NHL teams promoting AHL coaches.
You just brought one up a little while ago. Who was it, Paul?
Yeah, John Cooper.
There you go.
Tampa Bay Lightning. He came up from the AHL and won two Stanley Cups. So there are examples of yes, it has worked. I mean, there are a lot of coaches who work in the AHL. John Tortorella won a Calder Cup with the Rochester Americans and has also won a Stanley Cup with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So that there's another one that did coach in the American Hockey League and came up to the National Hockey League. And there are many examples of that.
Sheldon Keefe was the Leafs minor league coach.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there are examples of AHL coaches that were not good NHL coaches too. I can't think right off the top of my head, but, you know, there are those examples also. You know, Seth Appert, it seems to me, might be a little bit tougher than Don Granato, which is, I think, what this team needs. I think they need somebody that holds them accountable and sits some people up into the press box. And, you know, not a knee jerk reaction, but if he's got to teach the same thing over and over again to somebody, maybe they need to sit in a press box and think about it. And maybe next time they get on the ice, they'll be able to remember what type of things they've been taught. So I think he's a little bit more of that side, and I think the team does need that. I've been very impressed with the last two playoffs runs. I mean, he got the Amerks after, in a best of five series, they got down 2-0 to a very good Syracuse team, won the next three games, and wound up in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Hershey Bears, who averaged age about 29. And, you know, the Bears actually wound up winning the Calder Cup. And I thought that was a very impressive coaching job that he did there to get that team off the mat. They win a series against a team they weren't not supposed to beat, and then get them to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Janet in Buffalo. Hi, Janet. Thanks for holding. You're on with Paul Hamilton.
Hey, I was just going to throw out the name Joe Sacco. He is the assistant coach for the Boston Bruins. He was the assistant coach for the Sabres, I think, for one season. He coached the Avalanche for four seasons. He focused in Boston on both offense and defense, and so I'm just throwing his name out to see what you guys think.
Interesting. I don't remember him here, Paul. You may.
Yeah, he was here for a short time. I don't remember who the head coach was he worked for.
13-14 I've got him for. So is that Nolan or is that Rolston? It's one of those two, I think.
Right. So, yeah, then he went to the Bruins and has been there for a while. He, being in the Boston Bruins organization, absolutely is somebody that knows how to win. You know, he's been an assistant coach for a while now, so it makes me think to myself, is he looking to be a head coach anymore? Or, you know, does he enjoy being an assistant coach, and is that what he wants? But it's somebody that I think, well, yeah, definitely it'd be worth, if I'm Kevin Adams, worth looking into and talking to.
4 years in Colorado as the head coach. He was there from 09 through 13. He was fired during that 13 season, but he had a below 500 winning percentage in Colorado. But I'm sure there are going to be a lot of people who are, you know, who want the job. I fall differently than a lot of people thinking out there. And I'm sure there are fans who think, who would want to come here? A lot of people. Like, it's an NHL job. And, you know, to work, it's your lifelong career goal, if you're in that business, to be a head coach. I don't think it's that hard to draw someone here. Now, if they have a better situation, and the money's got to be right sometimes, depending on your name and what you've accomplished. But holy cow, Paul, I mean, the head coaching job of the Buffalo Sabres, absolutely it's going to be appealing to a lot of people in the hockey world.
Yeah, it's different than players who aren't willing to, you know, they're no movement. It's like, well, why would I want to go there? But I think also the Sabres were going to have trouble, and they already had. Kevin Adams talked at the trade deadline how, you know, it seemed like they might have had a trade set up, but the player invoked his no movement, and the trade didn't happen. And he said then, he goes, you know, we did this to ourselves. You know, and last summer, players wanted to come here. He had agents calling him with players wanting to come here. But if you change the coach, the talent of the Buffalo Sabres hasn't changed. And if you change the coach, depending on the coach is, that might alleviate the problem of players not wanting to come here with no movement. They might say, yeah, you know what? I think that coach can get that team over the top and get them going. And so that might help as far as players go. But players and coaches are two different animals, Sal. You're absolutely right. And if you want to be a head coach, especially here in Buffalo, you can look at it, well, things aren't going well for the Buffalo Sabres, but they have, you know, Rasmus Dahlin and Tage Thompson. And can you imagine if I could go to that city and win?
Right. I said the same thing. If you are the person.
You'd be king of the world. You'd be king of the world here.
If you are the person to take the Buffalo Sabres out of a 13-year playoff drought, build a statue. I mean,
but
right?
Imagine if that person wins the Stanley Cup here.
And Paul, let's remember, I mean, obviously Toronto's a big hockey city. You're not far from there. Canada, we know there's an appeal. Scotty Bowman lives here, for crying out loud, has a house here still. I mean, how many Sabres, former Sabres, NHL, Marcel Dion. I mean, think about the people in the hockey world that have relocated, stayed in Buffalo, New York because of the proximity to Canada, too.
Yeah, Marcel Dion, Daryl Sittler, and Harry Neal never had anything to do with the Buffalo Sabres.
And they live here.
But they all, I don't think Daryl Sittler does anymore, but he did for a while.
Right.
They all lived in Buffalo and loved it here. Craig Revay cried when he was traded to the Buffalo Sabres. He wanted nothing to do with it. Now you can't get him out of the place.
Yeah.
I mean, Craig loves it here. You know, he has a, this is where he brings up his family, and he never left. So it's a lot of misnomers. When people get here, they're like, well, wait a minute. You know, this is kind of a nice place.
Last thing before I let you go, the one name I did not ask you about, because I know you're familiar with him, John Tortorella. You mentioned him as a coach, but, you know, when we were kind of talking about guys out there, but that is not something I want the Sabres to do. Do you think someone like that would work, considering his style and what they need?
His style seems to work for a while.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, it just, players get tired of hearing it. So if you want to maybe get this team going in the right direction again, I think it would work. I'm not sure it would work long term. Is it too much? You know, these guys are used to, you know, all right, you made a mistake, don't worry about it. Here, we'll show you what to do. And then they make the same mistake four other times, and the coaching staff continues to show them what to do, but they just don't seem to get it. And, you know, these players, by the way, you know, have talked about how much and I have no doubt at all that they liked and respected Don Granato. But in the end, these players have nobody to blame but themselves, you know, for Don Granato no longer being the coach here.
They're going to speak tomorrow, the players, I think, right? Tomorrow and Thursday. Is that what's the schedule?
They're going to redo the schedule,
okay.
Obviously, with Kevin Adams talking today.
Yes.
We probably aren't going to talk to him Friday since we talked to him today, and I think the player schedule could get revamped too.
Okay.
But, yes, we will be talking to players. I just don't know when, where.
And today is Adams at 3, Paul? Is that?
Adams at 3, and then there was supposed to be nobody today, and then Adams and Granato were going to talk Friday. Players were going to talk Wednesday and Thursday. I think we will still get players Wednesday and Thursday. It's just a matter of who's going to talk when and that type of thing.
We'll be on top of it. We'll hear from you, Paul. Thanks a lot for this.
No problem, guys. Great talking to you.
All right, Paul Hamilton right there on the West Her Hotline, and I want to make sure that I tell you about Paul's reports, because I have it here somewhere, Joe. I've got to get to Paul's reports. You have it there? Do I have it here? Let me find it, because Paul Hamilton, when he speaks on WGR, here it is. I got to scroll down here. I got all these different sponsor reads. This is one for Paul. Brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. All right, 13 years, no playoffs. Sabres relieve their head coach. Something else happened I have to tell you about that's taken 17 years, Buffalo-related. It's finally happened, but we'll also take more of your phone calls on the Sabres and their coaching change and what you want here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Stays on side, right side, backhand pass in front, scores! Loose puck.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Over the far post for Greenway, and the Sabres extend their lead here in the second period. It's now 3-1.
Well, a nice way to end the season last night for the Sabres. They beat the Lightning 4-2. Joe, the Lightning didn't have anything on the line, right? It didn't matter.
Nope, they are locked into that top wildcard spot. I'm stunned they even played their guys.
Why did they have
Vasilevsky in there?
What was confusing me, to be quite honest with you.
The NHL's growing a little bit more in that area. Just what are you doing? Useless
I don't think
games.
That was their last game, though, right?
They have one more game.
That's probably why. Maybe the next game. Even like, you don't want to go that long, maybe?
Yeah, even still.
What did you think of Comrie playing then instead of
That was, I think, just a make good for, hey, thanks for being a good soldier.
Yeah.
Basically going the last 5 months playing no games.
He played pretty well, too, by the way. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. Joe, 17 years ago, Marshawn Lynch did a really viral video at Applebee's. Do you remember that?
Applebee's, yeah, with Kenny Mayne?
Yeah, I think it was, yes, right? And like how nightlife in Buffalo, and he goes to Applebee's. It was a really funny deal, right? You remember that?
Yeah.
Joe, it has taken 17 years. Did you see the news today?
The news? No.
Applebee's has been named the official grill and bar of the National Football League.
All right. Marshawn finally. He's got to be involved.
You.
He's got.
Come on.
Give the man a percentage. Give him a percentage. 10% seems fine.
I mean, this is all started from Marshawn Lynch's video, right? It's got to be.
Yep.
Applebee's Grill and Bar and the National Football League announced today they've entered into a multi-year partnership agreement designating Applebee's as the official grill and bar of the NFL.
All right.
They will leverage the entire NFL calendar beginning with next week's draft to engage football fans across the U.S. and continue to bring great value and delicious food and drinks to guests on game day. There you go.
Is that the most viral Marshawn Lynch video? Didn't he swim against Kyle Williams?
He did, but I don't think you'll find people like that one. The Applebee's one was Kenny Mayne.
Yeah. Isn't there a video?
Maybe he did. Maybe.
Isn't there a video of him confusing Buffalo for New York City, like on the flight here? Or is that just a story?
He didn't realize that.
He thought Buffalo was like a suburb of New York City. Yeah.
How about, though, the other one? No, you want to know about the viral Marshawn Lynch viral video? Maybe it's not as viral as it should be. Go watch Marshawn Lynch play against Gronk in Mortal Kombat, I think it is, on Conan.
I have not seen that.
I think it's Mortal Kombat. Or Tekken, you know, that game? One of these fight games.
Okay.
It's kind of inappropriate. I'm just going to warn you, so don't watch it like in front of people that might be inappropriate for them.
All right.
It's freaking hilarious. I laugh every time I watch it. It's Marshawn and Gronk playing this video game. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. Let's go to Tommy in Hamburg. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, how are you? Also, I just want to say I can't decide which I like more, the decor or the ambiance.
Oh, that's right. He said that on the video, right?
Applebee's.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
Hey, also, the Bear Grylls video with him is incredible.
He's a true G.
It's amazing, man. Thank you for that.
True G. But anyways, what I wanted to talk about was, man, I would love to see Lindy Ruff in Buffalo again. It would be an environment that would restore my hope in the future of Buffalo hockey. It would be getting the guy back who won a cup after he left. It makes the most sense.
And here's the other part.
Not only that, like shaping Cousins too, you know what I mean? Like him being able to be here for that kind of player, a player that, you know, not that Lindy ever played at that level, but, you know, that was kind of who he was.
Yeah, Lindy, I mean, look, I think that you go back and look at Lindy's career, he wasn't the greatest player, but, man, he was a guy. He was the captain of the Sabres for a reason. He was the captain, and he was a captain type of player, a leader. I liked him growing up, watching him play. He wasn't the most high-end player, but, you know, he was gritty, and we talked about the Lindy Ruff, Billy Smith butt end incident a few weeks ago, actually. We were talking about the Islanders there. Here's the other part about this. I'm guessing, I don't know this, Joe, I bet you Lindy would love the job.
Oh, sure he would.
Right?
I mean, like his last act in the NHL, given his age, would be to fix the Sabres. I think that's what he would be into. He would love that idea.
I don't think
he's going to get another job otherwise.
No. I've thought about him in a front office capacity. I don't know what it would be. Mm-hmm. But I thought maybe you could lend his, you know, he has knowledge of this league. He's been around a long time.
He's talked about wanting to do that at some point too, but it's been a while. It was a long time ago he said that. So I could have seen that too. But hey, the head coach job is open. He also did say, I think he told Adam Bonini in an interview a couple years ago that he had talked to Jason Botterill about the opening when they hired Ralph Kruger. So I don't know if he would have called it interviewed for the job, but he's talked to them about their opening before. The last time they had a coach search, they talked to Lindy. So I think it's very possible. I think it's very, very possible that he ends up being their coach. And I was just talking with Brian Mazurowski on the hall from WBEN, and he made a point like that. I don't even know that I can't decide if it should matter or not. The building's half empty. Hmm. The fan base is on life support. I mean, it is. Nobody's invested. Nobody feels any positivity about them right now. And Lindy's not for everybody. But man, it feels like he would have people jacked up if he came back. Like the what opening night could be like, the vibes going into the season. Like there might have to be, maybe there even should be, just a little piece of the puzzle that gets dedicated to what is going to give people hope. And I think the Lindy idea is going to give a lot of people hope that they can return to what they were when he was the coach before, or even not when he was the coach here. Ignore that. Forget about it. How about the guy, what he did with the Devils last year? Jack Hughes called him like a father figure at one point about morphing his game from just a slick offensive dynamo entering the league to like a well-rounded number one center. That's their best player that talked about Lindy that way. So I like the idea.
Typically, I don't love the idea of just bringing people back to the organization. This is what we do with the Bills when people say, just make Jim Kelly a coach, bring Thurman back, bring Bruce back.
Like, well, we haven't got a Perot for head coach.
No, we haven't.
Call yet.
And can I give you another one? This is what happened let me start over. It's definitely not the same as him. This is not the same as him. But Ted Nolan also ruins this for me. I mean,
yeah, he came back.
Right? He came back. And why did we do that? Why did you do that? Yeah. You didn't have to do that. But it was just this affinity for reaching back to the past that people had success. I do think Lindy's different because he played, he coached, he was very successful, led them to a Stanley Cup. It wasn't like he just was here in a beloved figure.
Yep.
He was very successful here. By the way, with multiple iterations of the team. Mm-hmm. I mean, they lose Drury and Briere. They still have good teams a couple years later.
Yep. If you want a name that has no affiliation with the Sabres, that's like a bit of an up-and-comer in the league, Mark Savard, former Bruin.
Yeah.
Really good in juniors with Windsor. This year, he's an assistant coach in Calgary. And I've seen his name mentioned as like an up-and-coming coach candidate. So if you want a guy that has no affiliation, you're not just retreading the past nostalgia because that's all you can do. I mean, there's one name. That's not the proven track record guy. That's another first-time coach. But he's one name that I've seen thrown around.
You got to look for connections with Kevin Adams, too. I think that's a big key. So go take a look at his past, his Carolina connections, his playing connections.
Chicago.
I think that's something you got to do sometimes.
Yeah.
Is to try and tie that together. It's just the way it always fits, right? You have these relationships, and you know that, you know, you might be able to work with the person. So that's why I still say, my number one idea, get Rod Brind'Amour away from Carolina if you can. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the Extra Point Show on a day the Sabres have made a head coaching change and fired Don Granato. Well, the Bills are into their offseason workout program phase one, started this week. We will hear from Bills select players, including Josh Allen, today's Tuesday, so Thursday, sorry about that. And also Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. We'll have that for you starting at 11 o'clock. Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, and select players. It is voluntary. Even though it's voluntary, of course, sometimes around the league, you hear that guys are not there, including today we got word on social media, according to Tom Pelissero and others, Courtland Sutton in Denver, not showing up to voluntary workouts. Courtland Sutton's been a name that people have mentioned for the Bills and maybe trying to go out and get, and with their wide receiver situation. He has 2 years remaining on his extension, but only a couple of million of that is actually guaranteed. The rest is not, from what I'm reading. So the trading team wouldn't have to be responsible for a lot, and they would probably rework a deal anyway.
And he wants an extension.
Yes.
So you'd have to pay him. This is not an idea that I like
much
at all. He's a good player, but he is a big-bodied, contested catch guy, 6'4", 216. He's good, but at 28 years old, like, I would be very afraid of paying him. Because, you know, think Kenny Golladay. Remember him from the Lions?
I do.
Super good player. And then, boom, just hit the wall. Like, that was it. Allen Robinson, maybe a little bit of this, too. Like, the bigger-bodied, you know, contested catch guys. Robinson's maybe better than those other guys. But Golladay scares me a little bit because he reminds me a lot of Sutton. And Golladay got paid by the Giants, and then it was just, there was nothing left. There was no speed left, no quickness left, and I'd be worried Sutton, who's had a few injuries, is about to hit a bit of a slowdown.
Well, this is actually here's a great antidote on this, what you're talking about. Andrew Mason, who covers the Broncos,
yep,
tweeted out a poll to Broncos fans. What should they do with him? Give him a new contract, keep him on his current deal, trade and save $9.7 million in the cap, release and save $7.7 million. Overwhelmingly, Broncos fans are saying trade him.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're clamoring to keep him there.
It's like, get out now because it's not going right. It's not going to go well.
Do you think that could happen with Diggs? What you just said this year?
What?
The hitting the wall like that? You think he already did?
I think
he's a different body type.
He hit a wall deep. I think I trust Matt Harmon's charting from last year that he went down in his success rates on all the deeper routes.
Okay.
But I think Diggs is a guy that can translate to more of an inside role. Maybe not this year with Houston. Diggs, I think, will have value once his speed has gone down a little bit because he's such a technician.
Sabres Live up next. They'll have much more on the Don Granato firing. One Bills Live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3. That's also when Kevin Adams speaks to the media. Paul Hamilton will be down at the at KeyBank Center for that. We'll have that for you here on WGR.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.